of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The intro, it is printed for you on the inside cover of the bulletin. My eyes are ever toward the Lord. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. My eyes are ever toward the Lord. We now turn to our Lenten hymn, number 422, On My Heart, Imprint Your Image. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning, and though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. The Old Testament reading appointed for the fourth Sunday in Lent comes to us from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 42, beginning with verse 14. For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will turn the rivers into islands and dry up the pools. And I will lead the blind in a way that they do not know. In paths that they have not known, I will guide them. I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them. They are turned back and utterly put to shame who trust in carved idols, who say to metal images, "You are our gods." Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger whom I send? Who is blind as my dedicated one, or blind as the servant of the Lord? He sees many things, but does not observe them. His ears are open, but he does not hear. The Lord was pleased, for his righteousness' sake, to magnify his law and make it glorious. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We turn back to the inside cover of the bulletin, and there you will find the gradual, which we will now say responsively. O come, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. The epistle reading today is from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning with verse 8. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned, or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight, and he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but how he now sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So, for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Now, having heard the word of God, we join together in speaking the words of our faith. This morning, we will confess the Apostles' Creed together. We confess together, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." Congregation may be seated. This time I'd like to invite all of our younger Christians to come forward for the children's message. Good morning. I think that was the saddest way I've ever heard my name said. Can we try again? Good morning!
Good morning, Pastor Waller. Okay.
That's a little bit better. Are you guys having a good day? Is anybody having a good day? Anyone? Is anyone having a bad day? A few of you. Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. It's hard to leave the ones you love, isn't it? Yeah. I got an even tougher question for you. So, have you ever prayed for God to do something for you and God said no? Think about that. That's a tough question, right? Have you ever prayed that God would do something for you and then it didn't happen? God said no. Can you think of one, Gandon? No? Zoe, you got one?
I can't remember.
Can't remember? Gavin, you got one?
I know. I had a basketball game. I prayed that we would win
when we did. Oh, okay. You had a basketball game. You prayed to God that he would help you win. And then God said no, and you didn't win the game, right? I think this happens to a lot of us, probably happens to all of us at times throughout our lives. We think that we know what is the best for us. And so we pray for God to do that thing, which is going to make us happy, make us have a good day. At least we think so. And then God says no, and the thing that we prayed for doesn't happen. I've had people in my life who got sick, and I prayed for them to get better, and God actually called them home into heaven, and they passed away. I've had that happen, where God has said no to my prayers. And I say, why would God say no to a prayer like that? Obviously, we want everybody to get better when they're sick and all of those things. Obviously, that's the best thing. But sometimes God has a bigger plan that we don't understand. And when that happens, all that's left for us to do is to trust him. So I wanted to do something with you today that's going to show how we can trust God. And I brought a few things up here with me. And I'm going to need a volunteer who trusts me. And I think I might use my own son for this. Zach, stand up, please. Do you trust me, Zach? Do you? In this bag, we have what?
Water.
And in my hand here, I have what?
Pencils.
And some of them are very freshly sharpened. And they're very sharp. If I poke you, it'll hurt. I'm not going to poke you. Do you trust me? I'm thinking about putting this pencil through the bag over your head. Does that sound like a good idea?
Yeah.
What's going to happen if I put this through the bag over your head? What's going to happen?
It's not going to spill.
It's not going to spill? It better not. Does mommy trust me? Here, you face this way. It's not going to spill? Who thinks it's going to spill? That's what you would expect, right? You poke a hole into a bag of water, right? All right, you ready? You ready? Are you dry?
Yeah.
Look at that. It didn't spill. What if we did a second one? Do you think that'd be okay? Look. It didn't spill. Can I do another one? Look at that. Three pencils. Six holes. And a dry Zachy. Right? Isn't that amazing? Hey, everybody give Zach a round of applause. You can sit down. No, if I take it out, then you know what's going to happen. So here's the deal, right? Sometimes God knows more than we do, and not just sometimes, right? All the time, God knows more than we do. And we might look at a bag like that and we say, if I poke a hole in a bag of water, obviously the water's going to go everywhere, but there's actually some science behind that. The bag is made of something called a polymer, and what happens when the pencil goes through there is the molecules actually will move and shift, and they'll actually make it so that it's still watertight, unless I pull one of those pencils out, but I'm not going to do that right now, right? So if you don't understand all the sciencey stuff behind that, you just got to trust the guy who's holding a bag with a pencil, right? And on a much bigger scale, if we pray for God to do something in our lives, and he says no, and we don't understand why, what's left for us to do is to trust that God knows more than we do about the situation. God works all things together for the good of those who love him. Even when we have a bad day, even when we suffer, even when things are happening in our lives that we just can't understand, we can trust that God will always do the best thing for us. And we have one really good reason why we can always trust God, that he will always do the best thing for us. And it's because he sent his son, Jesus, to be our Savior. That's what this whole season is all about. We are in the season of Lent. We are getting ready to celebrate Easter in just a couple weeks. We know that God loves us so much that he was willing to come into this world and die for us. And because Jesus went through that for you and for me, we can trust that God will always do what's best for his children that he loves. Even if we don't understand what's going on, even if he says no to our prayers, we can always trust in him. Isn't that a great thing? All right, so let's pray to God. Let's thank him for that. I'm going to ask you to fold your hands and bow your heads and repeat after me. Dear God, we thank you that you always do what's best for us. Help us to trust in you no matter what. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, thanks guys. You can go back and sit with your moms and dads. And your grandmas. And the rest of us are going to sing our sermon hymn, number 750, If Thou But Trust in God to Guide Thee. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the Old Testament reading. These words from Isaiah chapter 42. And these words might be surprising to us, maybe a little shocking. This is not really the tone of voice we're used to hearing from the Lord. Maybe it's not something we like to hear from the Lord. This is a father disciplining his children. And we know that behind these harsh words, there is a whole lot of love that God has for the people of Israel. And it's a sacrificial love, too, which leads to you and me. We're thankful that the sacrificial love of God for us resulted in the crucifixion of Jesus, who went to the cross to be our Savior and prove that God does always care. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, according to Merriam-Webster Online, tough love is defined as love or affectionate concern expressed in a stern or unsentimental manner, as through discipline, especially to promote responsible behavior. So, based on that definition, we probably all could say that there have been times when tough love has been the strategy used on us, or maybe times when we have had to use tough love on somebody else that we care about. Tough love is tough because in the moment when it's happening, it doesn't feel very loving, right? It can kind of feel cold and mean and cruel and heartless, but we all know that there are times when that is the only strategy that's going to get through to us or to people around us, right? We all have this sinful nature that is so self-absorbed at times that we just can't see things for what they really are. So in those moments, it's nice when you have somebody who loves you and cares about you to kind of break that mental cycle and smack you upside the head so that you can actually see what's really going on. This is a helpful thing. I was trying to think of or find a real-world example of this, and one of them that I came across that was intriguing to me was actually from the world of tennis, believe it or not. It was from the story of how the Williams sisters, Venus and Serena, were raised by their father, Richard Williams, to eventually become, you know, dominant in the world of women's tennis. I think some of you probably saw the movie that came out somewhat recently. Will Smith plays Richard Williams in a movie called King Richard. And there are these times throughout the movie where you can see that tough love is really the common thread throughout the whole Williams sisters' upbringing. They grew up on the streets of Compton in Los Angeles. And Richard knew that for his girls to be successful as tennis players, they were going to have to be raised tough. And so he did that. He would have them out there on the tennis court all the time, and it was very regimented. They weren't allowed to do what all the other kids did. They were out there constantly, day and night, even in some really harsh weather, struggling out there. Neighbors and onlookers would see that going on. They would say, this is a bad thing, right? This is bad parenting. He's being borderline abusive to them. And yet Richard knew they needed to face that kind of adversity. They needed to be toughened up by that tough love. Later on, there's a moment where Venus is playing in a juniors tournament, and it becomes clear that her opponent is cheating. And Richard's watching the match, and he knows. He can see the cheating going on. And he decides in that moment to do nothing, to stay silent about it. And you would say, well, what's he doing? That's not what a good father does. He's supposed to be protecting his little girl. He should be standing up and screaming and yelling and making a scene. But Richard knew that by hanging back, watching Venus go through that adversity in that moment, that was going to be better for her in the end, instead of just swooping in and solving all her problems all the time. Serena Williams is the younger of the two sisters. She spent so much of her early teen years in Venus's shadow. Venus was the one who got all the attention, who got the professional coaching, who had all of these opportunities to play in these big tournaments, the first opportunities, and Serena was kind of always hanging back. And you would look at that maybe and you'd say, well, that's not fair either, right? She's not being treated by her father the fair way. She's not being given the same opportunities that her sister was. But again, Richard knew, and he even said back then, he knew that Serena had more talent than Venus, that she was a little bit more emotionally strong than Venus. And history has proven him correct, because at this point, Serena Williams is the one who has 23 Grand Slam titles and is widely recognized universally as the greatest women's tennis player who has ever lived. So the overall point being that tough love can be a really good strategy. As long as the emphasis is on the love part, right? As long as this is being done to help someone and not to hurt them. And I think if we understand it in that way, that can give us a little bit more appreciation for what we're hearing from Isaiah in this Old Testament reading. And not just from Isaiah, but these are the words of the Lord spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Right away in verse 14, the Lord says to the people of Israel, "For a long time I have held my peace. I have kept still and restrained myself." Isn't that interesting? The idea that the Almighty Lord of the universe at times will restrain himself, right? In other words, he can do anything he wants. He can intervene in any of our lives at any given moment. He has the power to do anything, and yet there are times when he doesn't. He holds himself back. He restrains himself. He waits for the right moment to act rather than just jumping in, swooping in, solving all of our problems so that we never end up facing any sort of suffering, any sort of adversity whatsoever. He doesn't do that. He waits. He watches. There are definitely times in our life when that is frustrating, when that is annoying to us. We don't want God to just sit on the sidelines and watch the people who are cheating in the match against us. Right? We want him to jump up and yell and scream and do what he does. Sometimes he doesn't do that. We don't always appreciate God's tough love in the moment. But in the end, like I was saying with the kids just a moment ago, in the end, what's left for us to do is to simply trust. Right? To trust that God actually does know what he's doing. To trust that God has much greater timing than us. And he operates differently than we do. And that's actually a really, really good thing. It gets even more intense after verse 14, right? Tough love is not always passive. It's not always sitting on the sidelines and watching and waiting. There are times when it has to be a little bit more interesting than that. God has had enough of the watching and waiting by the time we get to this passage. He's ready to get in Israel's face. He says, "Now I will cry out like a woman in labor. I will gasp and pant. I will lay waste mountains and hills and dry up all their vegetation." Like I said before, sometimes in order to get our attention, we do need someone to give us a little whack in the head, a little kick in the backside. We need that. And spiritually speaking, it is necessary at times for our Heavenly Father to get right up into our faces and make it abundantly clear that we are heading down a bad path in our lives. So, in order to do that, there are times in our lives when we will go through some sort of intense suffering. And sometimes it's the direct result of something that we've done that we shouldn't have done. Sometimes that suffering comes to us and it's like out of the blue, completely unexpected. We can't figure out why. And maybe it's a lesson that we won't even learn until years from now. But that's really the case when we're talking about this passage here in Isaiah. The kind of intense suffering that's being referred to here is what we know as the Babylonian exile. You want to talk about some tough love? How about 70 years of having to live in a foreign nation? But in the end, we would have to say this was ultimately beneficial for God's people to be able to recognize the inherent dangers of their rampant idolatry. They needed to be woken up. So what it comes down to for them, what it comes down to for all of us, like I said, is simply trust. Trust that as we experience the tough love of God, it's because he truly does love us. He truly does care about us. He isn't operating against us. Satan would love for us to have these seasons of suffering in our life and to use those as opportunities to get us to doubt God's goodness. How many times have we heard people say that they just can't understand why God would allow such suffering to happen in the life of somebody who's good or someone who's considered innocent? How many times have we questioned that ourselves? Folks who are critical of Christianity will look at these things and they say, how can you believe? How can you believe in a God who's all-powerful and who supposedly loves you when you look around and you see all this evil in the world? You see all these terrorist actions going on in the world. War and violence are ravaging the globe. Childhood cancer is a thing. How can you even believe that there is a God who loves you? Either A, he's not as powerful as you claim he is, or B, he doesn't actually love you as much as you think. But I would say there's a third option in there, and I would call this the biblical option, that there is brokenness in this world, and God uses that brokenness to bring all things together for good. In our limited human reason, we just can't see it sometimes. It's impossible for us to truly understand what God is doing at times. But thankfully, there really is one way to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God is on our side. And that way, of course, is Jesus and the cross. The greatest act of tough love the world has ever seen was found in the things that our Lord Jesus Christ experienced during his earthly life, especially in the days that led up to his crucifixion. Every place where Jesus traveled, he encountered suffering. I think there's just a perfect example of that in that really long gospel reading that we had today from John chapter 9, where Jesus is encountering the man who is born blind. In so many of these places, doesn't matter how merciful Jesus was, the things that he said and did, he healed people physically, he used his words to forgive people and heal them spiritually as well. He did all of these things, and yet he constantly faced opposition. He constantly faced hatred from his enemies. Sometimes it's just a little bit of a verbal back and forth that Jesus has with the Pharisees, and that's kind of what it is in this passage as well. And the Pharisees are basically putting on trial this man who had been healed, right? It's kind of ridiculous in the way that it's written there. But that's sometimes what it is. Sometimes it's a lot greater than that. Sometimes it's a physical altercation. Sometimes you actually have crowds of people who are trying to kill Jesus before his hour has come. And all of it leads, of course, to the things that happen in those last 24 hours of Jesus' life. The betrayal of Judas, the arrest in the garden, the unfair trial that Jesus went through, the mocking, the beating, the spitting, the flogging, and the crucifixion itself. Jesus did nothing to deserve any of that. He did nothing and said nothing where he should have been treated the way he was treated. He was not treated fairly. And yet, with the benefit of 2,000 years of hindsight, we can look at the sad story that is the Passion narrative of Good Friday, with all of its sad and scary details, and we can still say, I am thankful that happened. Right? We are thankful for the tough love that was on display on Good Friday. We're thankful, even as we read and are heartbroken by the fact that the Father turns away from the Son and the Son cries out from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And yet we're still thankful because we know that that led to salvation and hope and eternal life for everyone who clings to Christ upon that cross. Tough love doesn't feel good in the moment that it's happening, but the tough love of Good Friday is what leads to the victory of Easter Sunday. And it's the same thing on a much smaller scale with the suffering that we go through in this life. As we live with the threat of sin and death all around us all the time, we face scary things. We go through things that at times we would call absolutely devastating, but it's not as if in those moments that it's all outside of God's control. He knows what he's doing, and he means everything for our good in the end. So if we have these times when it seems like he's holding himself back and he's restraining himself, at least we can know and trust because of Jesus that he will never hold back the eternal blessings that Christ won for us upon the cross. And if there are times when it gets even more intense than that, and it seems like God is right up in our face, we know that the one who is saying those harsh words also is the one who loves us, the one who cares for us, and the one who reveals his true nature with these words in verse 16, "I will turn the darkness before them into light, the rough places into level ground. These are the things I do, and I do not forsake them." In his most holy and precious name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We have quite a few updates to our prayer list today. I'll go through them as quickly as I can here. First, I wanted to mention in care facilities, Verdell Krieger, I mentioned her last week that she had gone into a care facility. I had said that she was at Washington County Hospital Extended Care, and I was wrong about that. She's actually at Friendship Manor, and she's going to be there for the next several weeks. We have an upcoming surgery listed here for Margaret Arning. She's going to be having a pacemaker put in tomorrow. This is not listed in your bulletin, but we also will have an upcoming surgery for Kenneth Stork. That's the father of Cassie Schnicker. Kenneth will be having an aortic valve replacement in the next couple of weeks. Currently hospitalized, we have Savannah Lamar. That would be the great niece of Tony Ginzi. Savannah was in a bad car accident yesterday. Thank God, she has only fractured a couple vertebrae, but her life has been spared, and we are praying for a full recovery for her. Recovering from recent surgery, we have Daryl Holly. Daryl had some surgery to correct some digestive issues that he was having. The surgery went well. The recovery has been a little bit slower, so he'll be in the hospital for the next few days, but should be coming home later this week. We'll also be praying for Ted Ginzi. That's Tony Ginzi's brother, who recovers from a recent foot surgery, and that surgery was successful. Today we are remembering the family and friends of Chuck Rademeyer, who passed away last Sunday evening. And last but certainly not least, we give thanks and praise today for the birth of Cody Reed Unverfurt, the newborn son of Eric and Stephanie Unverfurt, who was born on Monday. Mom and baby are doing great. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Great physician, enlighten our eyes by your blessed gospel and hide us in your shelter in the day of trouble. Provide a home in your church for those cast out by this world and unite them with us in the pure confession of your name. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, your Son abides among his saints in the temple of his church. Shelter all those who seek refuge under the cover of his tent, and raise up pastors in every age to serve them in your name. Bless our partners in mission and ministry, especially Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and our sister congregation, Bethlehem Lutheran in Farron, and their pastor, Jonathan Jennings. Lord, in your mercy. Father, through holy baptism, you have brought us into the light of Christ. Guide us always in your ways, and teach us to know your will, that we would do what is good and right and true. Bless this nation and those who work to protect it through service in the armed forces, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, Mark, and Jalen. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we thank and praise you for all of your blessings to us. We rejoice along with those who rejoice. We celebrate with those who have birthdays this week, including Lori, Gabriel, Peyton, Layla, Frank, Lynn, Morgan, Keaton, and Timothy. Be with each of them as they continue to grow in faith. We thank you also for the birth of Cody Reed Unverfert, and we look forward to the day when you will cleanse him by water and the word in holy baptism. Lord, in your mercy. Gracious Father, you have promised that what we suffer does not condemn us, but instead displays your glory. Sustain the afflicted in body and soul, especially all those who are on our prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Thretta, Norman, Verdell, Bill, Jim, Bessie, and Brian. We lift before you Savannah, who is hospitalized. We pray that you would grant to her a full recovery. We also lift before you those with upcoming surgeries, especially Margaret and Kenneth. Those who are recovering from recent surgeries, especially Daryl and Ted. And all those who are facing ongoing health needs and concerns, especially Ray, Daryl, Joan, Bobby, Marlene, Amy, Patrick, Lorene, Beulah, Carolyn, Roy, Wayne, Corey, Mike, Orville, Michael, Linda, Sam, Butch, Brighton, Shoei, Judy, Brinley, Brent, Bill, Delmar, and all those who are fighting cancer. Help them all to take heart, to trust you for healing, to find you even in the midst of their trials, and comfort those who mourn, especially the family and friends of Chuck Rademeyer. Remind them that even in the midst of things we cannot understand, that you will never leave us or forsake us. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. At this time, I would like to invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Thank you. Please stand. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. And the closing hymn today is Amazing Grace, number 744.
Amen.
Good morning. Thank you, Chimes. It was lovely. You get the day off tomorrow. You've earned it. So no rehearsal for the Chimes tomorrow. That's the first announcement. You'll get together next Monday instead. So today is Lutheran Food Day. Well, if you're going to be here in Hoyleton, then it's Community Club Food Day. So you can go and get yourself some drive-through chicken, and that will be served up until about 1 o'clock or whenever they run out of food. So that's your first option. Otherwise, if you're heading toward Hoffman, you can get pork chops there at Trinity up until 1 o'clock. Or if you're heading toward Oakville, then you can get breakfast there, and they're serving that until noon. So hopefully you'll be able to get some good food no matter which direction you're traveling today. A couple other things coming up. Tomorrow night is going to be our first quarter coordination meeting. So the heads of boards and officers are invited to come and join us at 7 o'clock tomorrow night for that. Please let me know if there's anything in particular you would like added to the agenda. Wednesday night, we are going to have our Lenten service once again. We will invite Pastor Brett Jones to come back and preach here as we continue our His Final Steps series. And not Pastor Jones's final steps, Jesus's final steps. Before that, there will be mixed choir practice at 6 o'clock. And so we hope you can join us for that. For your information, coming up two Wednesdays from now, there will be a change in the schedule. This is for Wednesday, the 29th. That will be our confirmand questioning night. And because that's a longer service with a reception afterwards on a school night, we are starting that whole process earlier. That service will begin at 6. So if you're planning to join us for the questioning on the 29th, please be here at 6 o'clock for that service that night. Coming up on Thursday from 6 to 7 o'clock, there will be a preschool and kindergarten open house held here. So if you have students or someone you know has students that age and they are interested in sending their children here to Trinity, please come on Thursday night for that. Also, as we get closer to Easter, there will be an opportunity for you to bring Easter lilies to help adorn our sanctuary. And those can be purchased. You can contact Doris Meyer if you're interested in purchasing one, but you don't have to purchase them through her. You could also drop your own lily off, and you can do so on Saturday, April 8th. That is Holy Saturday, the day before Easter. You can do that at 1 o'clock on that day. And last but not least, there is a little bulletin flyer in the back of your bulletin today to tell you about an event at Christ Our Rock coming up this Friday. There is going to be some delicious food served by the new Sizzlin' Stallions Barbecue Club, led by none other than our own Ben Kasten. And you can go and just have food if you'd like, but there's also going to be a Christian comedian, and his name is Jeremy Nunez. He will be giving his comedy act at 7 o'clock on Friday, and all the information is there for you. Please consider going to support our local Lutheran high school. Is there anything else that I missed today? Okay, if not, go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us today.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.